The recordings have started. You may now proceed.
Great. Thanks, Christine. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the Standing Committee on Improvements Implementation Working Group. Call on the 19th of May at 1800 UTC. On the call today, we do have Lauren Alamal-Roberts, Amar El-Sadr, and Edmund Scalise, Wolf Wallace Melvin, Angie Grains, Lori Schulman. We do have apologies from Sarah Bakke and Rudy Vansnick. From staff, we have Mary Wong, Julie Hedlin, and myself, Michelle DeSmiter. I'd like to remind you all to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. I'd like to turn the call to you, Anne.
Great. Thank you. It's Anne Aikman-Scalise for the transcript. And Rudy, our chair, was not able to attend today and asked me to chair the call, so I'm happy to do. We are looking at what Julie has posted in connection with the revised proposed operating procedures for officer elections governing chair and vice chairs. And these are procedures we've been working in our subgroup and in our full group to address situations where no chair is conclusively elected. And I believe that after our last call 2 weeks ago, there were some additional comments on this draft, in particular by Amar, that for clarification, and that those were certainly positively commented on by those on the list. If possible, Amar, I would like to ask you to review the changes that you had suggested for clarification, just so everyone is on the call is on the same page about that. Would you be willing to do that, Amar?
Hi, Anne. Thanks. This is Amar. Are you referring to the bracketed language under 2.2.1, numbers 2 and 3? The bracketed language is in red.
I think the red, Julie, is that correct that the red language reflects the changes that were made after Amar's comments? Is that
right? Well, so this is Julie Hedlund from staff. So the red line reflects a couple of things. First of all, the red line indicates the text that is new to the current procedures of the current GNSO operating procedures. And so this is the whole new section relating to the chair, vice chair election, and as well as some of the changes, you know, in the current section of officer elections 2.2, where you know, reflecting the discussions in the SEI and agreement on language, for example, in 2.2b, the second sentence now reads, a candidate for GNSO Council Chair does not need to be a member of a House, but must be a current or incoming member of the GNSO Council. And then there's a few changes down in F. You can scroll through and note those. Also reflecting the agreements concerning language in the group. And then there's the whole new 2.2.1, procedures for dealing with a situation where a new GNSO chair has not been elected by the end of the previous chair's term. And so the language in one color is essentially the language that that the SEI had agreed to, but now put into the format, the appropriate format for the GNSO operating procedures, and you know, and then some of the red lines reflect staff adding text just to be consistent with the format that is used in the GNSO operating procedures, and then in number 2 and 3 in the new section, in brackets, at the end of 2 and 3 is the language suggested by Amar, should the vacant House fail to appoint an interim vice chair within the allotted time period, the continuing vice chair from the other House will serve as an interim vice chair alone until a new chair is conclusively elected, and that is also appended to 3. Thank you.
Okay, yes, and so it's that bracketed language that I think that, Amar, I was just wanting to make sure that you made the comment on, because I saw your list, and this is Anne again for the transcript, I saw your post to the list that you felt from listening to our last MP3 of our last call that you thought there had been a little confusion about what issue you were raising. So I wanted to make sure that, you know, you had a chance to express that and to talk about your suggested language in the brackets there, which it seems that there's, you know, agreement on. But I noted that in your post on the list you said you thought maybe we were all a little confused about the point that you were raising.
Thanks, Sam. This is Amr. I don't recall who it was, but when listening to the recording in the last SCI call, I thought someone had suggested that the outcome of points 2 or 3 may be in question with considering the language we had here. And reading the language, I agreed. I thought that they were a bit ambiguous. Without the bracketed language, and I don't believe that I've actually added anything with suggesting this language, because I think that that's what we had originally as a committee sort of agreed on, how the different phases sort of progress. But I did think it would be helpful to just have clarifying text in there, just to make sure that folks who are reading, for example, 2.2.1, number 2, where if there's one vice chair whose term is ending at the same time as the chair, and no chair is conclusively elected, then if the House with the missing vice chair failed to appoint an interim vice chair, I was concerned that folks reading the language may think that, okay, so there's, since one House failed to appoint an interim vice chair, then we would need to move on to another stage, and obviously 3 wouldn't work, so we might have to move forward to stage 4. But I don't believe that that was our intent when we drafted those, so I just figured it would be helpful to add this language that makes it clear that if one House, the House with the missing vice chair or the vacant vice chair seat, if they failed to appoint an interim vice chair in the time that that we have prescribed for this appointment, then the already present vice chair would continue as an interim vice chair to manage the second round of council chair elections. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Amr. And I see that Lori raised her hand. Perhaps she has a comment on that. Lori?
Yes, can you hear me?
Barely.
Can you hear me? Okay, can you hear me better now?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. My microphone is very far away from my screen. I apologize. I actually agree with Amr, not actually, I agree with Amr's point, because what concerned me that if that chair, if either House couldn't decide on an interim chair, that it would slow down the work of the council. And I think if there's that much dissension, that we should just go ahead with one leader to keep work flowing, rather than tie everybody up in a knot.
Okay, great. Thank you, Lori. Are there others who would like to comment on this? It does seem to be that there's a consensus developing on that point, but I certainly would like to see, you know, if let's do it this way. I see some agrees in the chat. Can we all give a check if we're agreeing? Are you able, if you're in Adobe, to agree with this by way of a check? Oh, lovely. I'm seeing all manner and variety of check marks. I see Wolf Ulrich also check marks. So thank you. I think we would call that a consensus. I personally have one more question in relation to this, and we can clear our agrees now, but how do we within ICANN compute calendar days? I guess this is a question I would put to staff or anyone else with experience. You know, noting that there's a time deadline here, and that something is triggered if it's not met, you know, we continue with the one interim vice chair, and that the deadline is expressed as 14 calendar days. What time zone are we using? And Wolfori, I see your hand is up, so I'll ask you to comment.
Thanks, Wolfori. No, it's related. My comment is related to the table with the time scale, so it's different. So, so you are asking for the 14 calendar days. So, I understand calendar days. Yeah, in terms of how the calendar is, the calendar we are using, as usual, I don't know any other calendar. I know there are other calendars, yeah, being used on the world, but usually, I think internationally, wise, that is the annual beginning from the 1st of January to the 31st of December, and 14 days of that is 14 calendar days. That's my understanding. Thanks.
Thanks, Wolfori. I guess my question was a little bit different, and I see that Julie has her hand up because, of course, you know, the end of May 19th in Australia occurred a while ago. And so that's my question. Julie?
Thank you, Anne. This is Julie Hedlund. So we have expressed in these procedures, first of all, I should note calendar days as opposed to business days. So that means we count the days sequentially, you know, in, you know, the calendars that basically all of us are accustomed to using. The difference is that if there is a deadline that's expressed, such as the submission of a motion that is to be 10 calendar days prior to a GNSO council meeting, the deadline is expressed as 2359 UTC. So to the extent that a time is needed to be referenced for a, you know, deadline, you know, a dead certain deadline, then UTC is the time that is used. Otherwise, the time zone is not expressly linked in calendar days. I think it would be assumed that the calendar would apply to wherever wherever one was, and that there would be a time deadline only when one is needed. So with respect to the elections timeline, then I guess the SEI would need to ask, you know, do we need to express a time? So for instance, you know, we're starting at the ICANN meeting. Well, frankly, we may not know the timing of the GNSO council meeting at the ICANN meeting. We could express, say, for the deadline, the T in the table, a time. Again, though, we may not know the exact timing, so we are just mentioning a day as opposed to linking it to UTC.
Okay, thanks, Julie. I guess in the interest of clarity, I don't think that 14 calendar days should depend on where the ICANN meeting occurs. It kind of seems to me that it ought to be, you know, 2359, 14 calendar days following the day of the council meeting. Do others have ideas as to how to express that efficiently? Wolf Ulrich, go ahead, please.
Yeah, thanks, Anne. Wolf Ulrich speaking. Well, I'm wondering whether this is a critical date to be so exact, you know, which requires, you know, an exact statement about that. You know, usually on council, so we have deadlines for motions as well, and it's also counted in calendar days. So, it's usually as Julie says, you know, the date from in 2359 UTC. But I would say there's a kind of flexibility behind that. So in case there's somebody, you know, coming some hours later to that and saying, okay, there was this and that or this reason, so nobody really cares about that, and this, you know, that wouldn't be an issue. So I'm asking myself whether we should be more clear in that and more precise as it is right now. Thanks.
Okay, I guess my experience with that is a little different. My experience with respect to submission of motions has been that it was important to specify the exact time for the 10 days prior, and that we, as SCI, as a group, worked on unanimous waivers if a motion was not submitted timely, and helped to develop the language for that, which was then adopted by the council. What concerns me here is that we do have a provision that says, you know, if you don't appoint your interim vice chair in time, you continue with the one vice chair in the other house or whatever, and that seems to me something that is potentially even more important than timely submission of motions to some of the members of the various houses. So my feeling would be that the calculation of that deadline needs to be very, very clear. I think Julie had her hand up, and then Wolf Ulrich again. Go ahead,
thank
Julie.
Hi, Anne. This is Julie Hedlund. So I'm just looking in the current operating procedures of what we say for motions, again, to remind myself. It says reports and motions should be submitted to the GNSO Council for inclusion on the agenda as soon as possible, but no later than 23 hours 59, coordinated universal time. And then I'm just looking for, you know, if it's submitted after the deadline, yes, there are, as you noted, you know, several requirements that apply. So then looking back at what we have here, I guess the question to the SCI members is, instead of saying, say, for example, in number two, the deadline for the vacant house to designate its interim vice chair is 14 calendar days following the council meeting, do we then feel we need to say, use the same language? So say, as we say with motions, should be, I'm just lost my spot, yes, should be then no later than 23 hours 59 coordinated universal time, 14 days prior, 14 calendar days following the council meeting. I guess that's my question.
Yeah, Julie, I would certainly support that formulation just because it gives clarity and people rather, and this is Anne again, rather than saying, well, exactly what, you know, what does the time limit mean? There is so much work going on within ICANN and some of these deadlines, you know, I feel that people need real clarity on what a true deadline is in something like this. But Wolf Ulrich, go ahead.
Thanks, Anne. Wolf Ulrich speaking. Well, now I understood better the issue, you know. In the context of the question whether one or two vice chairs should continue to work, for me, here is the question. So in case we come to that point that one vice chair is just designated and the other not, the interim vice chair, does this mean the other house, you know, which couldn't designate a vice chair, should be excluded until the election to come up with a vice chair? So, or doesn't it mean that just the business should start with preparing for the election by one of the vice chairs. But if the other house is in the position in between, they could designate a vice chair as well. So that would overcome that issue if you understand it this way. So that's my question, because if you exclude, you know, the house, then it's over. You have no chance while you come up with another interim vice chair. Then I understand and I would agree to that we have to be very exactly. Thanks.
I see. Thanks, Wolfer. You're raising the question.
Sorry, this is Lawrence. I'd like to be placed on the queue, please.
Sure, Lawrence, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Thank you. This is Lawrence for the records. I feel, listening to this discussion, I feel it might help us if we go that step further to put the time of the day, you know, the 2300 hours, to help clear any ambiguity. The reason is I'm looking at our language, which says 14 days, you know, after the AGM, and that may also be transcribed to mean that immediately after the AGM held, whether it ended at some 4 p.m. or some 6 p.m. in the local time of wherever it was the meeting held, that 14 days after that particular time is when the timing should have lapsed. So in order for us not to create any room for arguments in future, I feel that it could help us a lot if we define the particular hour, you know, that we expect such a time limit to lapse. And I think that the best is for us to go with, the 2359 UTC. Thank you.
Okay, so I think we have two different issues, and this is Dan again, that are being raised. I think, Lawrence, that you are saying that the timing should be tied to the location where the actual meeting occurs. Is that correct, rather than just using UTC what's it called?
No. What I'm saying that it is possible for it to be interpreted this way. And so in order for us not to create room for arguments in future, it's possible to say that because the meeting held at a particular time or ended at a particular time, then 14 calendar days after should also end at that particular time. So in order for us to avoid any, not to create any room for confusion in future, it's better when we say the 14 calendar days that we also specify the time. So that's why I'm saying that I'm in agreement that we should include the time in the language, like is being suggested. Let's include it into the language that 14 calendar days at so time, which is 2359 UTC. Let's define the time so that we do not create room for arguments in future. Thank you.
Oh, okay, great. Thanks. I understand there what you're saying, Lawrence, and I think several have commented in the chat that's okay. And I think, though, that Wolf Ulrich raises a little bit of different question. I think that what he may be saying is that a failure by one house to meet the deadline of 14 calendar days, should we consider or discuss whether that house should be allowed to go ahead and appoint an interim vice chair after the deadline anyway to help conduct business in between that period in time and the final conclusive election of a chair? I guess my own thoughts about that, Wolf Ulrich, would be that it might tend to cause people to procrastinate, and that the reason that we would have this 14 calendar day deadline would be to, you know, ensure that a choice, you know, does get made in a timely fashion so that business may proceed. I sort of like the definiteness of the rule as it is, but I don't know if others have a comment on whether it would just be fine for a vacant vice chair to be appointed at any time afterward, and what the effect of that might be. Do I have your question correctly phrased, Wolfori?
Thanks, Anne. Mostly, I think so. So because, well, my intention was, well, to overcome that that lack that, you know, or that case, that one of the houses couldn't appoint a vice chair, let me phrase it that way, you know, after 14 calendar days, definitely business should be started to be conducted, you know, either by one or by two interim vice chairs. So in case there's only one, he should start or she should start to conduct this business. But to overcome, you know, this issue, well, of having appointed a vice chair at exactly a certain hour or minute, let me say, there should be a chance to be given to that house who has still discussions, may have discussions, well, to continue the internal discussion and come later with this vice chair, with this interim vice chair, but under the condition that the business has already could have been started by one vice chair. That's what I have to say. What do you say? Thanks.
So do we have others who have thoughts on that possibility of the, let's call it a late appointment of an interim vice chair, and what role that person would then have in conducting business in scenario two, for example?
Lawrence, would like to say something, please.
Yes, go ahead. Lawrence.
All right, thank you again. This is Lawrence for the record today. I fully understand the angle of Oric is coming from. It's possible that maybe a process had started because of a few hitches. A particular house may have not been able to conclude the selection process before or within the 14 days time frame. But if we were to accommodate that, it could also have some effect on the election process, because I mean, if we give 14 days for a house to come up with an alternative for a vice chair position, it means that roughly, even if it's 30 or 31 calendar day, you know, we are looking at maybe some 16 thereabouts or 17 days to start the process. To work towards, you know, concluding some form of by-election. And so if we're given half of that time for, you know, for that election to have taken place and it's not concluded, I feel that, Anne is saying, if we extend or we don't cause the houses to want to get into this time frame, it might not only impact on the selection or the election process, it might also mean that there shouldn't even have been the 14-day time frame in the initial instance. So knowing that, you know, there is going to be a consequence if they're not able to fill that gap in good time might also put pressure on, you know, the relevant house to quickly finalize the process of selecting someone to stand in as an interim chair. I feel that, in my opinion, I think we should go ahead to maintain the language the way it's structured and hope that, you know, the time frame, the tightness and all that will cause the relevant house to quickly select someone, because that's the essence of all these checks in the first instance. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Lawrence. I'm seeing a comment from Amr in the chat. we would have some concern that a house would take more time to make its selection when other important things are happening. And then Julie is saying we would not need to put something in the procedures. Oh, I am very sorry, folks. I'm going to have to actually take this call. It's from a physician. I'm sorry. Oops. Well, there it went. Okay. No. Waiting for news of a family member. I'm sorry. I will call them back. I'm not sure where to go with this right now. Wolf Ulrich, are you still feeling strongly that this language should be added to permit the appointment of an interim vice chair later in the process?
Thanks, Anne, before you speak. No, I'm not so keen about it. If you find a version or a solution, of that with specifying in an exact way, why not? So that then everybody knows exactly what to do and knows, okay, this is a deadline and nothing else. So I'm in favor of that. So just in case, if there is the feeling a little bit more flexibility should be given, then let's talk about. But I'm not really I can live with both.
Okay, let me ask this question. We were on our last call, Mrs. Ann again, discussing the possibility of reviewing these revised procedures with counsel before, I don't know if that was the notion of that was getting their input before or after a consensus call within SCI. And, maybe this is one of the things as we look at the procedure that that we would want to seek, the counsel's comments before we make a formal recommendation. So I saw Julie's hand go up, and I also then saw Lori's hand go up. So who wants to go first?
This is Julie. Just for a quick clarification, at our last call, we did agree that we would like to have consensus on the proposed revision to the GNSO operating procedures before bringing this to the council in Helsinki at their next meeting. And so the thought was that after today's call, if it was possible and if it was agreed to on this call, then staff would, accept the changes and prepare the language for a consensus call. And I just, one other thing that I just wanted to point out with respect to Amr's, comments, saying in particular the important issue here would be that the council business not be delayed. It seems that the current language gives the most forcefulness, or shall we say, the most support for, guards most against delay. I mean, in that it doesn't really give any wiggle room if one attaches the hour in UTC time. As I can tell, whereas if we put in more language that allows flexibility, then, in my personal opinion, it would seem that the more flexibility we build in, the more possibility that conceivably that could be used for delay. Oops, and I meant to lower my hand, not raise it.
Yes, thanks, Julie. I would tend to agree with you. Go ahead, Lori.
Oh, yes. Hi. I agree absolutely that we shouldn't ever delay council business, but I have a different opinion about appointing an interim vice chair after the deadline, then why have a deadline? I don't understand why we would have a deadline then if meeting the deadline isn't consequential in any real way.
Right, Lori. I think actually we've heard several comments that agree with your point of view on that because I think that's what, I hear Lauren's saying, I think that's also my point of view. I don't think that either Wolf Ulrich or Armour are really objecting to leaving the language the way that it is. If I'm wrong about that, then...
Yeah, maybe I'm not understanding. Sometimes I get confused, and I apologize for my confusion, because I thought in the chat, Armour said that he wouldn't mind a late appointment as long as business isn't delayed, but I don't understand how those reconcile. That's all.
Yeah, I think that, you know, and I see here Amr saying comment to me that I'm not wrong about where he's coming from. You know, it's I think it's just a question of, you know, having clarity in the rules, and there's a reason for the deadline, and that it, in fact, just, you know, encourages people to make a timely appointment. And Amr is saying that he, in the chat, that he would also have some of the concerns that you have stated. So to me, it kind of looks like we're at the stage where we need to decide whether with the change on the computation of calendar days inserted in there, can we reach an agreement on this point and move on to Wolf Ulrich's comments on the table? If you are against that, please raise your hand. Otherwise, we're going to go ahead and move on. Laurie, go ahead.
No, lowered my hand.
Oh, okay. You're lowering your hand. Okay, so I think we'll go ahead and move on, asking staff to make appropriate change with respect to the listing of a deadline as being tied to the 2359 to make it clear, and then move on to Wolf Ulrich's comments regarding the table. Go ahead, Wolf Ulrich. Hello?
Sorry, Anne. Do you hear me?
Now we hear you.
Oh, sorry. It was microphone off. Well, reading the table, I'm wondering the third column, maximum duration, to what it should be good for. That's my question. How it is phrased right now, it seems to be, it says, okay, we use one day, for example, for the houses to submit nominees in one day. What does it say? Tell us, you know. For me, the question is more how much time the house is given, though, to come up with the nominees. And that is that the duration. Can we see that anywhere here? So that's my question. I don't see, you know, a real reason for the third column here, you know, and how it expresses, you know, gives us value to somebody who reads it. You know, that's my own question here. Thanks.
Okay, just to be clear, I do believe we have moved on to a completely different subject, and we are not talking about appointment or election or anything of any interim vice chairs. We're talking here about specifying a timeline for the election of a chair. Is that correct, Julie? And can you lead us through this section? Go ahead, Julie.
Thanks, Anne. This is Julie Headland. Yeah, so, and thank you for that note, Wolf Ulrich. I copied actually a format that was used in the operating procedures that related to another election. It was the, I'm just trying to pull it out here, but let me say that this format had been used here I have it, just looking through one of the previous versions. Okay, so this was the, this is in section 2.4 on board seat elections, activities timeline under timing, and it had said, you know, you would start not later than, you know, and then you had T minus, and in this case they're talking months and weeks, not days. You know, what was the activity that commenced, and then the maximum duration. I simply just copied that format. I don't know that it's necessarily a good one, and I take your point that it may indeed not add anything at all, and perhaps we may want to just leave off that that column.
This is Anne. I would like to ask, Julie, before I recognize Wolf Ulrich, that you walk us through, you know, those on the call that first of all, you confirm that this is a table that applies to the chair election, and that you walk us through what each column means. I don't think I'm fully following how this works. So could you just go over what this table means and confirm that it's talking about chair election?
Yes, this is talking about chair elections, it relates to a request that the SEI had made to staff to come up with a timeline, a generic timeline. As you may recall, there was a graphic, a PowerPoint, a slide that staff had produced that had both, you know, dates leading up to the next annual general meeting, for instance, but also then the sort of generic timeline, you know, T minus X number of days, et cetera. And there was some discussion over, you know, what did we use as the starting and what did we use as the ending. I think that the agreement was, but others can correct me if I'm wrong, that the ending, the T, is the election held at the annual general meeting, and backing up to that is the summer meeting, understanding that that date varies, and so there is no date associated with that because it will be different. So starting at the top of the table, we have the summer ICAM meeting, where the proposed procedure for the election and the timeline is announced. That happens on one day. And then,
let me just ask a question from that. One day from the GNSO council meeting, or one day from the beginning of the ICAM meeting, or one day from when?
Well, see, so this is where I think maybe Wolf Ulrich is making, I think, a useful point. Perhaps having the third column is not helpful. So the point in putting a maximum duration is that the GNSO council meeting happens on a day. I suppose a GNSO council meeting could happen over 2 days, in which case this would be even more confusing. But the idea is that there is a day, no more than a day, for the announcement to happen for the proposed procedure and timeline, meaning it really shouldn't take any longer than a day for that to happen, and it would happen during the summer ICAM meeting. Then once that happens, then the clock starts ticking. 60 days prior to the election held at the annual general meeting, the NOMCOM selectees is announced, and the nominee selection begins, and there are 30 days for the nominee selection. Then the houses submit their nominees, so 30 days have passed, so now we're at T minus 30. Then the candidate statements are due T minus 18, and this is also based on the way elections have been conducted in the past, so it may be that we want to change those timelines. Then at T minus 3, candidate meetings are held, and that is the assumption that these candidate meetings are held at an ICAN meeting. T is the election held at the annual general meeting. T plus 2 is the requirement of the procedures that council must inform the board and community and post election results no more than 2 days after an election is held.
Okay, many thanks, Julie. And I guess, you know, what we all need to understand is that T means the day that the election's held at the annual general meeting. Okay, so Wolf Ulrich, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Anne. Both will speak. Well, Julie, this table is very good for understanding, and that's what we need, you know, to have a table shown either in that format in a matrix or as we used to have, you know, on a timeline, you know, this one. But this helps, and especially the first two columns are the one very clear. You know, the second one is the action, what is going to be done, and the other one is counted back or forward from the day of the election. So that's clear. So the question for me is here, with regard to column one, could we insert a information showing to the actors, the different actors here, how many days they have available to act? So, for example, how many days the houses have, including the stakeholder groups and constituencies, have how many days they have time to nominate their candidates. I read that in this way, that now they have 30 days after the announcement of the NomCom. And then after 30 days, they will have to provide or to submit the nominees. And then, okay, there is a time of, I count it that way, the 12 days until for the candidates to provide their statements. So that's what I would like to say here, to see here. Candidate 12 day time well to provide their statements. You can deduct it from that 30 minus 18. So in the first column that is 12 days. So that was my question. That information would be more useful to my mind rather than that a candidate has just one day to provide his statement. He sees at the end as one day. Well, what does he mean? Does he have one day to provide the statement, or is it just mean, okay, there is one fixed day where he has to send the statement? That's, you know, what are the different, what I see here. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Wolf Ulrich. Julie, is your hand up again, or is that an old hand?
Hi, Anne. This is Julie Hedlund. I was going to respond to see if I understood what Wolf Ulrich is suggesting and how I might incorporate that into the table, and also recognizing the comments from Amr.
Great. Go ahead, Julie.
So Wolf Ulrich, I understand now what you're asking, and I think that actually makes much more sense. But I'm wondering if it could still be a third column. I think you had mentioned it in the first column, but what if, you know, I mean, what if, in some cases, it doesn't really apply. So let's say under maximum duration, and perhaps we call it something else, there would not need to be a value, say, where announced proposed procedure and timeline, because there isn't an extended amount of time to do that, nor that the NomCom selectees are announced. But the House nominee selection would need to happen in 30 days. The House submitting nominees then, I mean, you know, would follow, but it doesn't have to happen over a span of days. But I understand that candidate statements, they would have, yes, as you say, you know, 12 days to provide their statements. Whereas the candidates would have 2 days to do their meetings, that would still be true. But maybe, you know, in an instance where something is happening on a day, it doesn't have to be indicated. Whereas, you know, if something has 2 days or more, maybe it has to be indicated. I'm just trying to think about the best way, the best way for me to portray this that makes sense. So I'm happy to listen to any suggestions there.
Great, thanks, Julie. I'd like to suggest that there could be some further discussion between Julie and Wolf Ulrich after the close of this call to clarify that table. I think a couple things I'll mention in the chat. Both Amr and Lori commented, could we label this, you know, chair elections timeline, even, you know, that might help somewhat. I'm seeing yeses on that. And the other thing that I need to address in terms of the procedure for this meeting is that I utterly failed in my duties chairing the call to do a roll call and call for any changes to statements of interest. So I will ask that staff take the roll call from the Adobe Connect, and then Lawrence came in by phone. Are there any others who are in by phone and have not made their presence known? Please do so now. And then I do need to ask, in sort of very bad order, reverse order, are there any updates to statements of interest that need to be disclosed? Okay, very good. At least we got rid of that. So at this point, I do think it would be helpful for Julie to go back and make some of the changes that have been discussed during this meeting, and for Julie and Wolfori to continue to talk about the table and maybe put something out to the list. But I want to recognize Wolfori's hand up in this regard. Go ahead, Wolfori.
Thanks, Anne. Wolfori speaking. Well, I would like to just to raise one point here. You know, you see the nominee selection is for 30 days. So I think it should be discussed within the different constituencies and or thought about it in stakeholder groups, whether this is the time we would like to have. Is that enough? Because we have to take into consideration that we would like to take into consideration as well the incoming new councillors, which just have been announced, you know, one day before. Nobody knows them, may not know them, so as it used to be the last time. But if they should be taken into consideration, so there should be some time, you know, available to get them known before the nominees are going to be submitted. So that's just the question. So I would, from my personal point of view, if we take that into consideration from the beginning, so I would say it's enough. But it would mean that the constituencies should, if they want, would like to do so, immediately start to get in contact with councillors to get familiar with them and discuss internally whether that these one could be candidates or not. So that's just my comment on that. Thanks.
Now, Wolfori, could I ask you to restate that you would like for each of us to go back to our constituencies to discuss whether the 30-day period is long enough? Have I understood you correctly?
Well, I would say we should be aware what is to be done within those 30 days. And from this point, should be clear, you know, is it enough or not? So it's not, if you say for your constituencies, you have discussed that or you thought, you know, that might be enough, so that because you are aware of these issues, and then it's okay. You know, it was just from my point of view, a point, you know, to be raised. Thanks.
Okay, and thanks, Wolfori. Now, would it be, from your point of view, sufficient to raise that question after we develop a consensus on this document and then send it to our constituencies for the consensus call, or is it something that you wanted us to raise separately?
Oh, no, we could do that. So during sending out to the consensus call, just mention it.
Okay, very good. So then also in terms of timing, and I do want us to get the call wrapped up here, I anticipate that we will need to review another draft, which would mean a call, I think, in another 2 weeks. And if we follow through with the timing, my question is, if we do a call in another 2 weeks, and hopefully Rudy is able to chair, would we at that point be able to put this out for consensus if we all agree on a final draft and still somehow get on GNSO Council schedule for discussion purposes? And this is what I gather, this would be prior to putting this out for public comment. So if someone on staff could help with the procedural timeline here, I would appreciate it. Yes, Julie.
Hi, thank you, Anne. And I'll just note, too, that I do plan on making the changes people have suggested and accepting the noting the new text today relating to the timing, the 2359 UTC in 2 and 3, and, you know, accepting the bracketed text from AMR. And then with respect to timing, a next call will be the 2nd of June. If we were to put the document out for a consensus call for the usual 2-week time, say starting the 2nd of June through the 16th of June, there would still be time for a consensus call to be completed prior to the Helsinki meeting. The council meeting at Helsinki will be on the 30th. Counting back from there, 10 days, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, we would still have time. I mean, there would not be a motion associated with, so technically, motions and documents, we would really like to get this before them by the motions and document deadline because it's a document but not a motion. And staff can work to get this on the GNSO Council's agenda. Mary is helping to pull that together. So, yes, it appears if we allow one more discussion at a next meeting, we should be able to make the timing.
Oh, excellent news. Thanks so much, Julie. So unless I hear any objections, that's how we'll proceed from here. And hopefully we won't have any big conflicts in the call for 2 weeks from now. Is there anybody who's already knows they would not be able to make that call in 2 weeks? Oh, good. That's great news. Well, I want to thank you all for your time. I'm sure we all have other issues we need to get on to. I see Julie's hand. Is that a new hand, Julie?
Old dead hand. Thanks.
Old dead hand. Okay. Well, I'd like to thank you all for your time, and that's the plan as to how we will proceed from here. I appreciate all the comments and all the participation, and thank you all for your time and energies for the SCI. And everybody have a good rest of your day.
Thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful day, morning, evening, or afternoon. Bye-bye.
We are adjourned.